Good afternoon. Merry Christmas. Oh, yeah. What a great day. Huh? A little snow. Nice. We'll take it. Well, welcome to the Bridge Church at Bear Creek. We're so thankful that you've joined us on this Christmas Eve 2021. It's crazy. It's Christmas again, isn't it? It's amazing. We're so glad that you're here with friends and family. In fact, if this is maybe one of your first times you're here, you're new, you're checking out a church for the first time, we'd love to follow up with you and get to know you better. If you fill out this little card in the seat back, or if you go to bridgebc.org/visit, we'd love for you to fill that out so we can follow up with you, get to know you. Additionally, we want to thank you so much for being a part of the church community. God has been so gracious to us, and you guys have been so generous. As we come to this year end, one of the exciting things that we're doing is we're finishing out the building to continue our outreach to the Bear Creek community. And so a lot of the year-end funds, and if you put building, you designate it to the building fund, we're gonna try to finish out an art room so that we can continue to reach the high school and the middle school and the kids and the adults of this community. We're really excited about this initiative into the next year. And we also are really going for some bathrooms, which is really nice, all right? Very excited about those ADA expensive bathrooms as well, all right? But also, we're just so glad you're here. And tonight, we're gonna kind of, in a way, also kick off our series on the Gospel of John. And so at the top of 2022, we'll be going through this amazing book about Jesus's life. And we even have available, either for $5, or if you don't have $5, don't even worry about it. We have these scripture journals that you can walk through with us as we go through the Gospel of John in this next year as a church. We're very excited about that. But mostly, we're just so excited that you are here tonight. And we're gonna celebrate Jesus' birthday. You ready for that? You ready for that? Well, let's, we're so glad. Would you guys stand with us, and we'll have our call to worship led by our friend Ian here.
Merry, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Y'all looking so fresh. Let's read this. Well, we did something different, so we're not all gonna read this together. I'm gonna go full prima donna and just be the lone reader, and then you guys can hop in, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Let's all read together. And the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Everybody, Jesus Christ, our life and light. Come, thou long expected Jesus. One, two. Come ye, celebrate together. Amen, amen. Would y'all grab a seat?
From Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of Lord hosts will do this.
Micah 5, 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand the and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord in the majesty Lord of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great and to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace.
All right, stand up. We're going to sing again. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare and move. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs implore. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. With truth and grace, and makes Grab a seat.
Scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them, the word of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Stan, and this is my wife, Lily. And when we were asked to light the candle for tonight and share a few things, we were unsure about how open to be, in all honesty. Then we realized what better place to share than our church family on Christmas Eve. For us, this has been a year filled with the highest highs and the lowest lows. We wanted to take you through just a few of them. If someone would have told us what all we would go through this year, we would not have believed them or had the courage to really walk through it. Thankfully, none of this surprised God.
To give you all a little backstory, I'm the youngest of six kids, and I'm very close to all of my siblings. Everyone in my family has a relationship with Jesus, and I've always felt like our family was protected and kind of favored in a lot of ways. I kind of bought into the illusion that nothing traumatic would ever happen to my family. Every one of my siblings is married, and there's 14 grandkids between us siblings. I always felt like God was with us and that our family never really walked through any tragedy because we were protected. There's no way that God would allow tragedy in our family, right? On October 9th, we got a phone call that would change our family forever. That one phone call that James always talks about that can bring you to your knees. We found out that our brother-in-law Ian had passed away unexpectedly at the age of 46, leaving behind my sister, Stephanie, and their six kids. To say we were absolutely devastated was an understatement. We were crushed, and we are crushed. How could God allow such tragedy? How could he let my sweet, beautiful, and strong sister lose her husband and best friend? And the kids left to grow up without their loving and involved father. The despair hit so deeply. In my first journal entry after Ian passed, amidst my pain, sadness, and questions, with tear-filled eyes, I wrote, "It is taking everything in me to say, I trust you, God. It feels impossible, and the road ahead feels very unbearable. Since that journal entry, I have seen the strength of God radiate so beautifully in my sister. I've seen reasons to trust God. I've seen pockets of hope, even through our worst nightmare. Ian finished his race, and due to his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and by the grace of God, we can look forward to being reunited in heaven with him again. There's such a long, painful road ahead, but today we can proclaim that Christ is worthy of our trust, and he can handle our mess."
Thanks, babe. Good job. And speaking of God's faithfulness, if you can tell, we're expecting a little baby in January. By God's grace, he answered a prayer of ours that we had been praying for years, 3.5 years or something like that, asking God to give us a baby. For whatever reason, he picked this year as the year that he would answer that prayer. As I mentioned, this year has brought some of the highest highs and the lowest lows, but thankful Christ is here with us through it all. Jesus Christ is the brightest revelation of God's love. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Tonight's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, the Word of the Lord.
Thank you, Stan and Lily, so much. Thanks, Ian. What a year. What a year 2021 has been. Have you heard of writer's block? No? Okay. Yeah. Not a writer. Gary, I know you don't. You know, all right. It's when the writer tries to write and he can't come up with things. I call Christmas and Easter sometimes the preacher's curse, you know? Because what else, how are you going to say, guess what? He's here, all right? And on Easter we say, he's risen. And our church says, you betcha he was, all right? That's what we say here at the Bridge. And there's this horrible weightiness sometimes, like say something new and challenging that people have never heard before. Shock them with your intellect and your stories. And you, this is the preacher's curse. It's like, it's Christmas again. And friends, Christ has come. That's it. And yes, that's worth clapping for, Chucky. Here's what I realized today. Not today. This week, all right? And I will proclaim today that there is profundity in the simplicity of Christmas. You find sometimes the most profound things in the most simple ways. And like kids who hear a great story, what do you do when you close the book? What do they say? Again. And you tell it again. How many have read yourself to sleep, not your kids, but yourself to sleep, right? You know, I've done that before. Or I'm a very good speed reader as well. And kids are like, you're skipping 10 pages. You know what I'm saying? But tonight, frankly, my friends, we're just going to tell the Christmas story again. Is that okay? And if we do, as we do that, thank you, buddy. All right, let's pray and ask God to move. Lord, we ask that this old, old story would become very fresh in our hearts tonight. Lord, the familiarity of the Christmas story, I would guess many of us know, have heard before, but I pray that in a unique way that you would open our eyes, you would open our hearts, you would open our ears, and you would speak to us, Lord. And Lord, that we would become all like children tonight. And that we would humble ourselves and enter the kingdom like a child. And so, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. There was this old Christmas card that was quite nostalgic. And I find that the holidays, especially Christmas, brings the nostalgia out of everybody in some way, right? And here was one of them. It was interesting. May you find among the gifts spread beneath your tree the most welcome gift of all, the child you used to be. Right? Right? And this one's interesting too. Backward. Turn backward, O time, in your flight. Make me a child again, even if just for tonight. And there's something about Christmas that is beautiful and childlike, right? And often churches strut out the little shepherds and the little angels, and we talk about little baby Jesus, right, and all of these things. And tonight we get to hear the good Christmas story again, as presented, though, through Jesus's best friend, John. We heard Stan and Lily read a bit of it, and here it is again from John chapter 1, is this very profound statement. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word. There John is actually playing on the chapter 1 of Genesis, right? Which we started our worship service out tonight. Talking about the very beginning of time, creation. And in the beginning, the Word was there. And the Word, this Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without without him was not anything made that was made. Our God is a magnificent, creative God. God is also very big on communicating with people. As Francis Schaeffer said, he is there and he is not silent. We believe that God is one who reveals himself. And as the old hymn says, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. This God who is so transcendent and creative is one also that speaks. In fact, John describes this one as the Word. He was with God and he was God. Now the Greek word for word, ready for this? Logos. Ooh. I'm trying to be profound tonight. All right, see. Logos. I mean, we don't really use that long right? But it's the short version of that. Logos, all right, not logos. We say logo, don't we? Logo, right? Now, here's some logos communicate things, right? They communicate our brand, right? Let's see, I bet you probably know this logo here. Huh? Adidas, right? All right, see? I got you. All right. You probably also know this logo right here. Oh, yeah, there we go. I knew the kids were in. I had to do something. All right, all right. It's also very interesting that it also has the bite taken out of that, right? Yeah, all right. And I'm sure all of you know this one right here. All right, this one is incredible. Bum, 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 bum. There is no place like Nebraska. Go, knowledge. N is for knowledge. That is right. That N is for knowledge. All right. But a few years ago, the BBC commissioned a project to say, what would Jesus have looked like? Isn't this interesting? Often we see these strange, kind of creepy Jesuses, right? Like very ghastly with a little lamb, and they're like, oh, that's kind of, or you see the one of Jesus kind of longing out into the light, right? But the BBC said, if we went back and what reconstructed what a first century Palestinian Jewish man looked like, this is what they think Jesus, this is very interesting, may have looked like. It's interesting. I find it fascinating that this is, I think, when Isaiah the prophet said he had no beauty that we would behold him, no majesty that we would have thought he was the one, right? And here we say that's Jesus. Now, again, we don't know exactly what Jesus looked like. But they said this is probably what maybe Jesus would have looked like, or at least a man around his age and stage of life and place of birth. And God is a creator and he is a communicator. In the beginning was the Logos. You want to know what God is like? He's going to speak and he's going to speak through his word, namely the word, namely Jesus. Jesus, the word of God. And God is going to send a message that God who is going to speak, I believe this is interesting too, that God in his creative power and might speaks to us. And God was so gracious, it says later in John 1, it says that the law was given. God knows how he wants his people to live and behave in the world. He gives us a code of ethics and a sense of right and wrong. And then God was so kind that he sent these people called prophets. They were kind of like the warning lights on your dashboards of your cars, right? If you know what those are, check your engine. The prophets would come and warn the people, hey, you're straying. Come back to God. Come to the one who loves you. He's speaking to you. And finally, I believe God just said, all right, I'll go down there myself. Have I made myself clear? If you want to know God, my friends, look at Jesus, the Word of God. Jesus, it says this, it goes on, verse 4. Listen to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world, this cosmic battle of goodness and evil, of light and darkness, and hope springs in a broken and dark world. Amen, friends. And Advent comes in the dark. I love reading the preacher Fleming Rutledge's Advent sermons. And she said this very profoundly. Listen to what she said. Every year, I note, there are the same themes: war, crime, violence, poverty, racial hatreds, totalitarian oppression, religious persecution, torture, selfishness, greed, and in all caps, sin, right? What would you like to wager about Christmas next year? What would be the better bet? That at this time next year there will be peace in the world, or that there will be fountains of blood? Which is the better bet? Rutledge would say, any religion that is not honest about the dark side of life is not a good religion. And Christianity has the remedy to darkness, friends. The light has come into the darkness. Christ comes at our darkest places, at our darkest points of our own existence, in the global existence, Christ comes. It was interesting that the scriptures do not actually give us the exact date for Christ's birth. And so the early church chose December 25th. And now a great professor at Wheaton College, a fine institution that it is, all right, Tim Larson was talking, and he was doing some research about Christmas. He said often he thought that the early church chose December 25th because it was fitting for symbolic reasons. He said that the winter solstice, which was just, what, a couple of days ago? 2 or 3 days ago, right? Is the moment, think about this, that the days of maximum darkness end. And what begins to creep out? The light continues to grow and grow and grow. I love that. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, my friends. And we are still here this Christmas Eve to say that Christ has come in the midst of our darkness and our pain. I love Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I often quote him and his Christmas season sermons as well. Listen to what he says. This is profound as well. God had looked upon the poor of the world and had himself come to help. Now he was there, not as the Almighty One, but in the seclusion of humanity. Wherever there are sinners, the weak, the sorrowful, the poor in the world, that is where God goes. Isn't that a great line? Listen to that again. Wherever there are sinners, the weak, the sorrowful, the poor in the world, that is where God goes. Here he lets himself be found by everyone. And this message goes out throughout the whole world, year after year anew. And it also comes once again to us this year. Human hearts feel emotions under the lights of the Christmas tree in so many different ways. Before our eyes stand the crowds of the unemployed, the millions of children throughout the world in hunger and distress. All eyes tell us of helplessness and despair. And despite it all, Christmas comes. Whether we wish it or not, whether we are sure or not, we must hear the words once again, Christ the Savior is here. The world that Christ comes to save is our fallen and lost world, none other. This is the good news of Christmas, my friends. John will go on in chapter 1, verse 10, when he says this. He, talking about Christ, was in the world, and the world was made through him. There is that creative power of Christ again. And yet the world did not know him. He came even to his own, and his own people didn't even receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. One of my favorite preachers tells a story one time that as he was training up other church planters, he kept hearing this common story. He said, I grew up in a church that never preached the gospel. And he said, he would go on, he would interview another church planter. He goes, I grew up in a church that would never preach the gospel. And he kept hearing this common theme over and over again. I just kept growing up in a church that never preached the gospel. And then Tim Keller, who was the preacher who was training up all these other young guys, he began to scratch his head and said, surely there can't be that many churches out there that aren't preaching the gospel. He said, maybe it's the problem of the hearer. Are you tracking, friends? That the gospel was being proclaimed, and with clarity, frankly, at times, but it's our own hard hearts and deaf ears that refuse to hear it, friends. And so maybe you're here tonight because your family drug you here, or maybe you're here because you're checking off your box and we'll see you again at Easter time. I don't know why you're here, all right? My buddy called it CEO Sunday. He goes, there's going to be a lot of CEOs. I'm like, what's that? Christmas and Easter onlys, all right? And I said, okay, all right. And if you are a CEO, you are still welcome here. We are not here to shame you whatsoever. But my hope is, and even if you've been coming to church time after time and time, that you hear that Christ was born into the world to save sinners like you and me, and that we are in a desperate state of need. We sit under God's judgment and wrath, and Christ has come to deliver us from our sin and our shame and our pain and our failures, and to give us eternal life. Christ came on a rescue mission to live, die, rise again, and establish his kingdom. And I hope that you follow Christ by faith tonight. Amen, friends? That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. And may you receive by faith the gift of God's grace tonight. Because if you receive it, you get to become a son or daughter of God. That's a pretty good deal. That's an amazing gift. In fact, I love what C.S. Lewis says. Listen to this. This is so good. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. Did you catch that? Let's say that again. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become, and women, he's not being gender specific here, right? Enable men to become sons of God. How do we know this? Because Jesus himself existed in space, time, history. John 1:14, look at this. And the Word, there it is again, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I love the Christmas carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sings. Do you know that one? All right, yes you do. Good, buddy, all right. It says, right, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, born as man with man to dwell. Remember how it goes, Jesus our Emmanuel, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Ooh, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. You guys are really good. You guys should sing more often, all right? Anyway, all right. But do you see the deep theology there, right? It's incredible. Born as man with man to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. God does not desert this planet and leave it up to chance. No, he comes to rescue it in love. Or the other great one that we already sang, Word of the Father, now in flesh, appearing. He's here. Christ has come to deal with our miserable estate. In fact, C.S. Lewis will even describe it as the enemy invaded territory invasion. That the rightful owner and Lord has come to take back what is rightfully his. C.S. Lewis, again, many of you know that I love C.S. Lewis. He wrestled, before he was a Christian, he wrestled with if he could actually believe in God because his mother died at a very young age, which set him on a path to atheism. And as he was wrestling with this, he goes, how could I know God? Because he was told as a young lad, if you pray hard enough, your mom will get better from her cancer and she'll live. And she died. And it put him on this path towards unbelief. And then in 1921, this is interesting, about the same time that C.S. Lewis was wrestling with his journey of faith and becoming at least a theist, he became actually an agnostic, then a theist, and then he became a Christian. It was this interesting progression that C.S. Lewis went through. There was this Italian guy by the name of Luigi Pirandello who wrote a play called Six Characters in Search of an Author. That's what the title of the play was. And in the play, all the characters are striving to figure out who the author of the play was. And the story ends in death and despair. And C.S. Lewis thought about this himself because he thought it was irresponsible to have faith in a God who was so distant. And listen to what he said in his testimony, Surprised by Joy. I distinguished this philosophical God very sharply, or so I said, from the God of popular religion. There was, I explained, no possibility of being in a personal relation with him. I thought that he, meaning God, projected us as a dramatist projects his characters, and I could no more meet him than Hamlet could meet Shakespeare. Even if my own philosophy was true, how could the initiative lie on my side? My own analogy suggested the opposite. If Shakespeare and Hamlet could ever meet, It must be Shakespeare's doing. Hamlet could initiate nothing. Am I trapped on this little dot in the middle of the universe with pointlessness to my existence in this play called life? And the beautiful thing is, C.S. Lewis would come to believe that Christ was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And as after he became a Christian, he revisited this analogy of Shakespeare writing himself into Hamlet. Listen to this. Shakespeare could, in principle, make himself appear as the author within the play. And he could write a dialogue between Hamlet and himself. The Shakespeare within the play would, of course, be at once Shakespeare and one of Shakespeare's creatures. And he said, it would bear some analogy to the incarnation. Isn't that awesome? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have a God that we can see and touch and hear from, who cares for his people and lays down even his own very life for his people. And the one who can lead us out of this dark and dreary world. And that brings us to the beautiful reality of Christmas, right, friends? That God comes for the lowly. His mother, right, pregnant out of some sort of scandal. What? You're telling me a virgin has conceived? Come on, right? A teen pregnancy in a small town, right? To a guy who is poor, a poor carpenter as well, his earthly father. To those lowly shepherds watching over their flocks at night, with the angels declaring the glory of who Christ is. The God-man, Christ himself, comes in the humblest of ways, friends. St. Augustine, he said this beautifully, talking about the incarnation. And I'm going to skip a couple slides here, Clem. Did you get me? Good job. All right. I pulled a fast one on the slide guy. All right. Listen to this, though, about the beauty of the incarnation of Christ. Man's maker was made man, that he, ruler of the stars, might nurse at his mother's breast, that the bread might hunger, the fountain thirst, the light sleep, the way be tired on its journey, that truth might be accused of false witnesses, the teacher be beaten with whips, the foundation be suspended on wood, that strength might grow weak, that the healer might be wounded, that life might die. That Christ himself was sent on the divine rescue mission, that Christ died in that death that we deserve to die in our place so that we may have life out of the darkness and despair. An early church father by the name of Gregory of Nazianzen said this, what has not been assumed has not been healed. What he means by assume there is taken upon oneself. That Christ took upon your sin and shame and my sin and shame upon his shoulders to bear the weight of the world, right? As we're going to sing here in a little bit, right? Long lay the world in sin and error pining until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. That Christ has come full of grace and truth. He is gracious. The Greek word for grace, by the way, is gift. And do you ever pay for gifts? Friends, no. I remember having the privilege of leading a dying man to faith in Christ a few weeks ago. I said, grace is hard for us because we love to earn our way, right? But nowhere on God's green earth do we say, after receiving such a gift, do we say, how much do I owe you for that? Right? Let me pay you for that. Gifts are meant to be received and never repaid. Isn't that amazing? That Christ himself is full of grace that is not earned but received. And as old Charles Wesley said in that hymn again, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, mild he lay his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. This is the good news of Christmas, my friends. And so, as the old Christmas carols say, let every heart prepare him room. Make room for Christ this Christmas by receiving his grace and his truth this Christmas, because Christ has come, my friends. And as the angel said, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. He's here. Amen? Well, let's pray. That's it. All right? And then we're going to sing. And don't worry, we're going to do candles too, Brady. All right? You bet. We cannot forget candles. Amen? But I also want to invite you this Christmas, if you have never received the gift of God's grace, if you never received the forgiveness of God for yourself, I encourage you to receive his grace this Christmas. It's the greatest gift that could ever, that has ever been offered to humanity. The gift of life and hope and joy and peace. It does not mean this life will always be perpetually easy. But as you heard Stan and Lily share, the way of Christ is the way of hope, my friends. And if you're looking for hope and security this Christmas, I hope that you will trust in Christ this Christmas and receive his gift for you. Let's pray. God in heaven, we ask God that you will do what only you can do. That maybe somebody tonight heard the Christmas story afresh or for the first time. And that they would receive by faith the goodness of your grace in their life. And they would say, Lord Jesus, save me, rescue me, because you, Jesus, are the Savior that has been born this day in the city of David. So we worship you this Christmas, Lord Jesus. Speak to us, change us, and help us to trust you no matter what. God's, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to sing the beautiful hymn, O Holy Night, and then we will do Silent Night. But will we sing O Holy Night seated? Right? Yeah, we're going to sit through this one and let it wash over us and sing this together.
His name.
Let's stand and sing this.
A silent night, you'll have your candles. And by the way, just one tip, okay? The lighted one will stay upright and the lighter will dip in. Does that make sense? This is the flame like this, all right? And then you can take it. So it prevents wax from spilling all over. And so again, would you light the person? I'll light the ends, and then the end person will light the person behind them as well. Does that mean not directly behind, but the person on the end will light the person on the other end? I'm sorry, it's kind of a math type of equation. But we're gonna let the light of Christ shine this Christmas, all right? And I'm convinced that by the end, every candle will be lit one way or another, all right? And so as we do this, my friends, Christ has come, amen? And the light has come into the darkness, and the darkness cannot, will not ever overcome it. Amen. And so Christ is the light of the world. Let us sing this Christmas. Light of Christ.
Shepherds play at the side. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, wait in peace from thy holy face, with the dawn. So may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and let his face shine upon you, and be gracious and give you his peace. And I say that benediction a lot during the year, but it's only once a year that I get to see the light shining in your face. So would you go with that same spirit, being lit by the love and the grace of Jesus? God bless you all. We'll see you not this Sunday, the following Sunday. All right, and then feel free to blow out your candles when you're ready and drop them in the basket in the back. All right, Merry Christmas.